Good thing the Hot Stove League started cranking up this past week because it's freezing in Seattle.
Yeah, this is basically like the Hot Stove basically decided to fire up to counteract the climate change. So maybe that's why free agents weren't actually signing. Maybe it wasn't teams like learning to be more economical and trying to figure out better ways to use their money. It was really just the climate change.
So the climate change deniers have another thing that they can conspiracy theory about.
Yes. Or maybe Al Gore should just step up to the plate and be like, see, told you. Look, Yankees fans, you'd have Mike Moustakas right now if it wasn't for climate change.
Like, I'm like holding my breath so I wouldn't start laughing. That was pretty funny.
And Al just Gore. For the record, that is a top-notch Al Gore impression.
That was. It was. That is the first reference to Al Gore on Foul Territory Baseball podcast.
You know what, John? It's actually appropriate that we get our name wrong this week. You know what? We're going to call it Foul Baseball Territory in honor of Grace and Frankie.
That we butchered and ran with.
Over and over. Here's the thing. We got the name wrong last week, but not only did we get it wrong, we got it wrong dozens of times. And we just, like, we've never done that before. Well, we've done names wrong before, but we never did then repeated it over and over.
You're right. It wasn't until I was almost ready to post it that I realized that it was wrong.
It is spectacular to listen to that knowing that it's wrong. Yeah. Now, like, I thought it was, it was like an art piece. Like it was like an Andy Kaufman thing.
Right.
But we didn't know it. It was, oh my God, it was so great.
Well, you led off with it. And I was like, yeah, that's the Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin thing. Right.
And
we're like,
Frankie and Johnny. Yeah. But, which, by the way, in its own right, a movie.
Great film.
That's
great
a good film.
Film. Yeah. That's Al Pacino, Michelle Pfeiffer. Right.
Yeah. And Michelle Pfeiffer's character lived in the film, one block from where I live.
Oh, I thought you were going to say one block from Grace and Frankie. That would have been cool.
Look, honestly, I even have trouble saying Grace and Frankie now, knowing that it's correct. I want to say Grace and Johnny. I want to say Gracie and Frankie. I want to say I don't even know.
Grace and Frankie doesn't roll off
Grace
the tongue.
Grace and Frankie.
Just doesn't roll off the tongue.
Who named this show? I don't know. Disaster. Some smart guy who's got five seasons of... of old broads banging, not each other necessarily.
Well, but the old dudes were. That's the whole premise of the show. Oof,
just, ugh.
That's how Gracie and Frank.
See, we got to just drop it.
Yeah, just.
We got to just drop it, John.
Goodbye, Grace.
Pull the plug Good on night, those Frankie. Guys. No we're offense, done. Old people who are on actual life support and listening to this. No
and
offense.
And watching Grace and Frankie while...
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a niche market. It's people who watch Grace and Frankie. They're on life support, and they're listening to this show. I got to figure that's at most a dozen people.
Yeah, that's a trifecta, though.
Yeah.
Life support, Grace and Frankie.
Yeah.
Foul Territory.
So I apologize for the insensitive use of quote-unquote pull the plug.
So this is episode 56, the Al Leiter episode of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple.
Al Leiter, nice.
He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And we're going to talk baseball because there's a lot of baseball talk. Not just because we're in spring training, but there was a lot of movement.
And not because we feel bad about the Gracie and Chucky and stuff. That
Frankie and Johnny, they're back.
Honestly, it's remarkable stupidity.
It just was fun. It's funny now. Yeah. Hopefully somebody got a chuckle out of it while they were listening to it.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit of baseball.
Before we get started talking about baseball, I just want to mention that on a day like today, even though it's cold outside, nothing more refreshing than a delicious Snapple.
They're back. Snapple is the official non-sponsor of Foul Territory.
The non-official non-sponsor. No. No, we'll say they're official non-sponsor. You're
the
right,
official
you're
non-sponsor.
Right.
We should try to get a few more official non-sponsors, too.
No, well, first of all, let's work this Snapple angle. But audience, if you're listening, buy Snapple. But when you buy it at the store, just say, hey, Foul Territory sent me.
Right. And if we
see we're listening to foul territory.
And if we see an uptick in Snapple sales, we can call them up and say,
we'll be like, welcome. Bro, you're welcome. Look what we did.
Right. So does J.D. Martinez, the newest Red Sox player, enjoy a refreshing Snapple?
So Ross and Rachel got together. Right. Bruce Willis and Sybil Shepherd got together on Moonlighting. As with all of those great romances that we all knew would end this way, J.D. Martinez finally winds up with the Red Sox, and it is a perfect fit. And the sex is fantastic.
For now.
Wait, what?
For now.
For now. Yes.
Right. Yeah, it was a long time coming. It's kind of silly that it took this long, especially since the numbers went down dramatically. Why don't we just start there, maybe?
Well, it wound up being a $110 million deal, right? Which is, I guess, a little lower than everyone kind of expected. But if we talk about any more deals today, they're all going to have that caveat.
Well, he wanted, 7 years, 220, I think, initially? Something like that?
Yeah, he wanted like the 30 mil.
Right.
But with this deal, he does actually wind up with 25 and 25 for the first 2 years. That's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, considering the market and all that. And then he has an opt-out after 2 years. Which you and I have talked about, I think, is actually good for both. Because then you're like, the Red Sox can go like, we like him, but he wants to opt out. Fine, we got 2 good years out of him.
Right, right. So, it's the time to pounce. Hopefully everything will come together for the Red Sox.
Right.
They've made a lot of changes or a lot of acquisitions, of big dollar acquisitions in the last few seasons that haven't really led them to over the top.
Well, so they have won the division. Two years in a row.
The World Series, the big kahuna.
I know, but they won in 2013, John.
So that's good enough.
Look, man, 2013 no, I'm just talking about
you get David Price, Chris Sale, now J.D. Martinez.
And look, the farm system's a little depleted because of promotions and trades.
Right, but it delivered. So that's why
they delivered.
I think if you're a Red Sox fan, and you are, you have to be thrilled with what the minor league system has delivered to the major league level.
And 2-3 years down the line, they have a bunch of good stuff coming. They just have a really bad system kind of right now. Mm-hmm. But they still have, who is it? They have Jason Groom, who looks like a good number two starting pitcher. And then also they have Michael Chavis, they don't even know where to play this guy, but he's a slugging corner infielder. They can't play him at third because of Rafael Devers.
Maybe they play him at first. Listen to Jed going deep on the prospect list.
I'm saying it's not the Mariners farm system. Do you know what I mean? Like, there are pieces here that can be used, that can be brought up, that can be traded. And you look at the outfield, Benintendi, Bradley, Betts.
What's his name?
They're all from the farm system.
Right. Yeah. All young.
Third base is Devers. Shortstop is Bogarts. All from the farm system. The catchers are, some of the catchers are from the farm. It's a strong team.
Why was there even the ongoing conversation about Bradley being, they had even bring it up after Martinez signed. It looks like Bradley won't be traded.
Right.
Why were we having that conversation though?
Because you could move Benintendi to center because Benintendi is a center fielder. That's why they even have that option, is because Benintendi is a center fielder. He's playing left field, which is a little bit of an overkill in Fenway Park because that is such a small left field.
And who do they move to left field if they moved Bradley?
Well, then it would be like, a player plus J.D. Martinez.
Brock Holt?
Yeah, Brock Holt. Exactly. So whoever, if J.D. Martinez is DHing, then they put someone out there who's a defensive player.
Okay. Got it.
Whatever.
They're
but this is the better team.
You
look at these lineups. These lineups are very comparable to the Astros and the Yankees. The Yankees have more home runs in the lineup.
And more strikeouts.
But in terms of overall offensive production, these are very balanced. And the Indians as well. The Indians have a very nice lineup. Those four teams have very nice lineups. Those will be the top four American League teams for runs scored.
Yes, I would agree with that. So the Eric Hosmer era has begun in San Diego.
Speaking of bottom four teams in runs scored, San Diego Padres.
One of the things that I loved about this whole signing and A.J. Preller, talking about at their press conference to announce the signing, is how Hosmer is willing to dive into the numbers and see that his high ground ball rate, if he converts it to a more of a launch angle, he could deliver big power numbers in San Diego.
Mm.
That's their spin.
Mm. Here's a fun spin. We brought in Eric Hosmer because he has experience leading young players to the championship. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Do you mean because he was, as a young player, he was led to a championship? Right. That now somehow that qualifies him? Because here's the thing. I've flown on an airplane, John. That doesn't mean I'm qualified to fly an airplane.
Right.
Let's be very clear. Those are two different things between having it done to you and one doing it.
Well, he does have a reputation for being kind of a galvanizer in the clubhouse. Let's see if that works in San Diego.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, especially like, okay, so here's the deal. So it's the 8-year deal that he always wanted, except it's really just a 5-year deal.
Right. Front loaded too.
Front loaded because the last three, he has an opt out after 5, and then the last three are like, he's only going to keep those if like he's had an arm amputated.
Right.
Like they're literally the only reason why he would accept those last 3 years. So, but then it lowers the average annual value. But Boris gets his 8 years. Wow, Boris is like, he's like a warlock. Look at what he's doing. Look, he got all the, like, really? Now he just got a 5-year deal.
Right. And the thing about Boris, too, is it's almost like he waited too long this year. And the players that are signing for the anticipated value that he was promoting in the November has dropped significantly.
Yeah.
But he'll never admit that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, we held out to get the best deals that we could.
I mean, the market really shifted. Did you see that? Who was that? The signing that the Diamondbacks did, the guy from the Mariners last year.
Oh yeah, Dyson.
Dyson, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got him for
a song,
like a few million bucks. Like there were experts thinking he was going to get $11 million a year for 2 years.
Yep,
that's a valuable player. The Diamondbacks got him for like $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
What? What's going on here?
It was a good
really
year.
Really weird.
It's a good year to overspend on relievers. Well, I shouldn't have said that. It's a good year to spend value on relievers and undervalue.
Except the Giants got Tony Watson. Did you see that crazy deal they got?
Well,
for
that was
$3 million a year.
That was because he loves Mark Melanson. They're buddies.
Yeah, but
he took the buddy discount.
I know they did some trickery with the contract because they're doing this thing now where they add on an extra year but make it a player option. So the player is going to be guaranteed that money in the third year, but they'll decline. Anyway, it's a math thing. I'm impressed. Honestly, I think it's clever.
And is it a gentleman's agreement that you'll not pick up the option?
Oh, no, it's up to the player. The player can just say, I won't.
No, I know.
So what they'll do is, they don't pick up the option. They get all the money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they can go out and sign another deal.
Right.
So it's not like they were released. So they'll get like a – they'll anyway, whatever. No one cares about this, John.
We're going deep.
Wow. Anyway, it's pretty impressive. I mean, the Giants have done a really impressive job. They made their team better. I'm not going to say they didn't make their team better. I still don't think it's a playoff team. I still think it's an 81-win team. But they've done a good job in a very, very difficult situation, maneuvering in and around it.
And then we have the Rays who continued to dismantle their team. So they DFA Corey Dickerson, trade Jake Odorizzi.
All-star Corey Dickerson.
Right. And they picked up CJ Cron. So they're solidifying.
then they trade Steve Souza to the Diamondbacks, who missed out on J.D. Martinez, so now they have their J.D. Martinez replacement. And they also, what else did they do? Oh,
Drury to the Yankees.
Yeah, but I don't care. No one cares about that. I guess, yeah, because he's going to wind up being like the starting third baseman. But then in terms of the Rays, then the Rays signed Carlos Gomez to replace Steven Souza. And he's basically like Steven Souza, but like 4 years older.
And can no longer run.
No, still better defensively than Steven Souza.
Is he?
If you can believe that, yes.
Wow. And he's lost a step or two.
And he has lost a few steps. But Steven Souza didn't have those steps to begin with. So basically, they moved a bunch of players around and saved themselves about $11 million. Odorizzi was the weird thing because, you know, two years ago and 3 years ago, this was like a good pitcher. And then last year he bottomed out and basically they got the number 20 prospect from the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to crap on the Rays, what they value players and stuff, because I remember laughing my butt off when they traded David Price away for Willy Adames, and Willy Adames looks like he's going to be an all-star shortstop. But at the time, it seemed like a light return for David Price from the Tigers. So maybe this Twins prospect, ranked number 20 in their system, is going to be, you know, the next Willy Adames. So,
well, they've always been known for developing pitchers. So they were looking at Snell, Odorizzi, and Archer as kind of their young studs that, unfortunately, haven't necessarily got to that level of the three amigos. Maybe they were the three amigos, and that's why they're no longer a threat. But Snell has a lot to come back from.
Would you say they had a plethora of starting pitching, John?
Yes. So we also have, let's see, we talked about that. I guess the Dickerson thing was kind of a surprise. It's a money move, but
it's a money move.
It's
a quality player, but it's a quality player which clearly is undervalued in the current market. And maybe they tried to trade him because they're just like, well, we can't pay him $6 million. Because, like, look what you can get. You can get Carlos Gomez for $4
million. Right.
So that's, like, to you and me, we look at it and think, like, oh, what's the difference between $2 million? But then if you actually think about that, like, $2 million is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because to us, it just looks like,
it's a pittance.
Numbers.
Right.
Yeah, it looks like, because it's all relative.
Where does
Dickerson like
wind
money up?
Any thoughts on that?
That's the other thing, is where is he going to wind up? Like, I don't know, Baltimore maybe? Does Baltimore need another, you know, shaky defender, slugging outfielder DH type? That seems to be all they have.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And they just signed Rasmus, right?
They signed Rasmus.
Decided to unretire or whatever.
Yeah, they re-upped Tillman.
Yeah.
So they really solidified their team.
Hell of a softball team, though.
It is.
Hell of a softball team.
Let's see. What else? So Juan. Jeez. Julio Pablo Martinez, a Cuban, I was going to say refugee, but that's not the right word. Defector, I guess, would be the right word, is now available. I think was this week they said he was now available to become a free agent. 21, 22 years old,
yeah,
I believe.
He can sign by, I think, March 4th he's allowed to sign somewhere. And it looks like the Rangers are making the move.
Oh, I heard the Marlins are all in.
Well, the Rangers are moving. They traded a pitcher away to the Reds for international money.
Right, and all the other teams that had kind of moved around international money for Ohtani, once he was off the board, they spent it. They started going signing people left and right.
Right.
And so there's not a bunch of teams, but I guess if he holds out until, was it June, everybody's back in play?
Well, July 2nd
July 2nd.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see. I'm assuming he's just going to want to get in and start developing. He's not a impact player right away. He's a development player.
He's like 21, so he's probably like 2 or 3 years away. But he's considered one of the better prospects to come out of Cuba in a while. So,
well, I heard the Marlins. I heard the Rangers, Marlins, and there was one other.
I mean,
team.
Honestly, the Marlins should sign all the Cuban players.
They should.
Like this is, get fans out there, man. Like,
yeah. Speaking of the Marlins, though, after everything that they've done, this year's team will have the third highest payroll in the history of the ball club, which is unbelievable when you think about it.
Well, they have all those deadweight pitching contracts.
Right.
Isn't that what it is?
They do. They have some. Yeah. But, you know, when you think about all the money that they traded away, you would have think they were moving in the right direction. And then did you hear about the kerfuffle between Bryce Harper made some comments in an interview about how surprised he was that Stan got traded. He said he figured that they were only a couple of pitchers away from being a really good ball club.
Okay, yeah.
And Don Mattingly was like, hey, why don't you worry about your own dugout?
Yeah.
You don't know
what
we're doing
here. Is that right, Don Mattingly?
He's a mouthpiece.
Is that right, Don?
Yeah. Don knows the inner workings of the Marlins much better than Bryce Harper. You're not a big Don Mattingly fan from his days.
I am not a big Don Mattingly fan at all. you know, inept managers who get to keep their job are not really my thing. That's the new, that's going to be the new thing. The front offices have all sort of gotten themselves sorted out. The next thing is going to be like dumb managers, like Mike Matheny, bye. Don Mattingly, bye. And so then it'll like, it'll get reduced down to like, okay, who's still a dummy?
Yosting.
But he gets to keep his job forever, right?
Right, because he won a World Series, and he fell off a ladder, and there's the sympathy thing.
Yeah.
Almost died, according to him. And he said, and Eric Hosmer never called him back, even though he was infirmed with a head boo-boo. Never heard from him.
Aw.
That's sad.
He got yosted.
Yost got yosted.
Yeah.
Foiled by his own game.
He was like, why didn't Eric Hosmer bunt me over to second? why didn't he give up an out to the other team?
Anyway. So what are the latest pace of play initiatives that have been coming down the pike? It seems like
this won't
go away.
No clock. But they're going to limit the number of mound visits, which I dig. And the players have agreed to this, so it's not like this is unilateral, which is good. And then they're going to tighten up the time between commercial breaks, which I think is good.
I do, too.
I don't think the game needs it, because really when you look back on it, it's like, oh, wow, look, was it a 3-hour and 10-minute game, or was it a 3-hour and 18-minute game?
Right.
I think there's an apparency that can be adjusted, you know, like the stepping in and out of the box, that sort of thing, like pitch to pitch. I don't think there should be a pitch clock. I don't think that's what it should be. But because the players should just agree that, like, we're just going to do this faster.
And wasn't one of the things limiting trips to the mound?
Mound
visits. And the Cubs catcher was like, screw that. I'm going to do whatever I want.
Right. So then the umpire has the option to eject them from the game. If they were just like, no, I'm going to do whatever I want. Like, good. So the Cubs catcher, who is part of the Players Association, who has agreed to these changes, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just Wilson Contreras, right? Like, I like his fire, I like his zest, but come on, guy,
he's got a
zippy throw down to first base. He's making zippy comments here and there, and having to backtrack about Yadier Molina and Yadier, you know, oh, I'm going to be better than blah, blah,
there's
blah.
A few young egos on the Cubs team. That's for sure.
Yeah. And it's the thing about a team like that is that's how you go from being the best team in the last 50 years, like the Cubs were, to, you know, barely making it through the first round of the playoffs and then getting hammered in the next round. Mm. It's just like there's too much highs and lows with ego like that.
Right. Right.
Got to keep it centered.
I agree. So what's this? I don't know where this popped up, but this, you know, rumor from Rich Eisen.
Yeah.
Where did that come
from? So he said that he talked to an MLB executive, and they had floated this idea that teams would be able to bat whoever they wanted as the first three hitters in the ninth inning if they're trailing in the game.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so basically, Rich Eisen talked to an insane person, probably a hobo, and maybe Rich had a few too many drinks, and he was like, well, what are you, you know, where do you work? And he was like, I'm executive. And he was like, oh, I was speaking to an executive, and he said, this is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, and I'm surprised that Rich Eisen, who doesn't he mainly cover football?
He's a football guy.
Yeah, so maybe just Rich Eisen just stays in his lane a little bit.
I heard if you're up by 10 runs, the bat boy has to pitch to the the opposing team. That's the rumor.
Telling you, when they put out the 5-run buckets in the outfield, okay, it's the sixth inning, everybody. You know what that means? 5-run target buckets.
It's gonna happen. One of these days, they need that type of stimulation to get those heads and phones up to watch the game.
Yeah.
They need that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll see what happens. You know, to be able to watch through the nets, you know, anybody down in the lower bowl is going to have to, you know.
Oh no, John. How will they ever enjoy the game of baseball with all those filthy nets in the way?
Thick corded nets.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah. If they're really going to put up nets, they should put it between the good seats and the really terrible cheap seats where all the poors are. Right, John?
They should actually put some nets below the upper level and outfield walls that are high so that people don't fall out of them and die. That would be a good thing, too. I haven't seen that, have you?
Or just put one all around Josh Hamilton.
Well, there was the guy in, and I know we talked about this last 2 years ago, the guy in Atlanta that fell out and had tipped a few too many, I think, that game.
Whose family sued.
Right.
And got nothing because,
And so, but we haven't seen any reaction to that. Now, so I have a story going way back. I was a Marlins season ticket holder, and this was in year one. And the bullpen, my seats were behind the bullpen down the left field line. And it was great because you had a chance to watch right into the bullpen when, you know, the opposing team, you know, would be warming up. But Mitch Williams, the Wild Thing, is warming up one day and uncorks one and just sails 10 feet over the catcher's head and beans somebody. A fan. So they put up a net.
He's the best.
They put up a net as a result of that, which fans just like, are you kidding? So that it wasn't permanent. They would raise it up whenever somebody went into the bullpen. It's like, no, Mitch Williams was the reason, not every single pitcher. So it was you know, just it blocked the view, and it was
just the lunatics. Just have a net for when the lunatics are pitching.
There, right. But it wasn't funny, but it was kind of, it was with a big deal because, you know, as Mitch Williams was wont to do, he would uncork something that went, you know, out of the field of vision every once in a while. Good, the old days, the good old days. Okay, let's move to a little bit more of a somber note. All teams have been participating in a tribute to Stoneman Douglas. I'm not quite sure what the tribute is.
I think they're all wearing Stoneman Douglas caps for the beginning of spring training games.
That's cool.
It's kind of cool.
That is nice. Very cool. Actually, very
I think
very
it's
cool.
All teams, too. I think it's in Arizona, not just Florida. So no, that's
great.
Cool.
That's great. Yeah. Now, Anthony Rizzo is a Douglas grad, so he was there for the tributes last week. Yeah. Very emotional, tough to watch, you know, seeing a grown man, professional, that everybody relates to as this happy-go-lucky guy who's been through quite a bit himself personally, just to...
I mean, he's no Jake Peavy, but yes.
No, he has survived cancer, though, but so that he's got that going for him.
Yeah, there's a lot of those, though.
Whoa. cancer schmancer. Whatever.
I got a rash, man.
Now, sensitive to the cancer thing, my dear old father had the cancer. You know, the 3.5 packs of cigarettes a day probably had something to do with it. So
bad air, that's all.
Yeah, yeah.
Pollution.
Choices, people, choices.
That's right. Let's go on to the next thing, John.
Miami-Dade County is livid that they didn't get their piece of the pie when the Marlins were sold. So Loria is claiming that the $1.2 billion he made, there was no profit to be shared. That's a little hard to believe, isn't it?
Here's the thing. Miami-Dade is not going to get one penny.
No. But there was a clause in their contract that they would get a percentage of the sale.
Yeah, but come on, man. It's so easy to show no profit. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to show no profit. That's all. He's going to say this was a loss, and this was a loss, and this other thing that I paid for 8 years ago.
You sound like a Hollywood distributor.
Exactly, man.
Because I know that game. It's like, there's no money. There's no money for you. Are you kidding?
Wait, what fee? I think we got a statement in not the last quarter, but the one before. It was like, what? There's a what fee? We have no return this quarter because of what fee? And it's like, well, it was I can't even remember the words they used to describe this fee for the service, but it was like, it's in the contract, and like you go through the contract and like, yeah, it's sort of in there, but how can it be that much? It was like, well, it's as much as we decide it is.
Right. And it's like all of a sudden you see things that you didn't know that they were doing.
Yeah.
On your behalf.
Yeah, on our behalf. And like one of them was like some sort of social media thing, and I've literally never seen them do anything for our film on social media.
Yeah, it is the Hollywood. And I learned that lesson by talking to some insiders that said, be cautious. Yeah. If before you sign any contract, definitely have an entertainment attorney look at it and then know that they might not.
That said, I've cut some corners on some contracts that we made during the film. So, you know, it's.
I think it goes, it definitely goes both ways.
Y'all without sin can cast the first stone.
Right, right.
Mine were well-intentioned corners that were cut.
But now that we've entered into the Hollywood portion of our.
And cutting corners.
Of our baseball podcast. Let's move it down south to that. L.A. team in Anaheim.
Who cut some corners. So they lowered their right field wall from 18 feet to 8 feet.
8 feet?
8.
That's a 10-foot drop.
That's a 10-foot drop. My guess, 10% more home runs at that park.
They probably could do the math on that, right? And look at...
I think who was it that just did this recently? City Field did, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't City Field? I think it resulted in quite a bit more home runs in the park.
The Marlins moved fences in. The Padres moved fences
in. No one cares about
in.
The Marlins. Stop bringing up the Marlins, John.
I have to.
Let it
no
go.
No one else will talk about them. Somebody's got to be a fan. The sound of one hand clapping. I don't know anything about this story. Pirates catcher... Elias Diaz's mom was rescued from kidnappers.
Yeah, kidnapped down, I think it was in Colombia.
Which is a thing down there for athletes.
I feel like that's racist to not know which country it was. But anyway, yeah, but they were she was rescued. They didn't pay the ransom.
Which it's
what a harrowing, terrible thing to have to go through in life, right?
It is.
Like, here we are, we have problems in America, sure, some problems. But like, I don't have to worry about my mom getting kidnapped.
No, it's not even... on the table.
Like,
yeah.
It's so weird that that's like even a thing. And of course there's all bodyguards you can hire it's a whole cottage industry down there.
Yeah. Oh, it is. I know some people, Americans that have lived down there and they're like, oh, it's a beautiful country, but you need a bodyguard. I'm like, what do you mean a bodyguard? It's like, oh, all the homes are gated. I'm like, what? And this was I had a friend that was living
Sounds
in
great.
Brazil, you know, in Brazil. And she's like, oh no, I have a driver and a bodyguard. It's like because they think
the
that because
is,
you're American,
you can afford
you have
it because it's like a dollar.
Right.
That's true. They think because you're American
you have money.
And you're living abroad that you have money.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the deal here with the New Jersey Little League being under investigation?
Yeah. So this was like a story that kind of went around, but it really wasn't. It's not as juicy as I was hoping it was because, right, it was like New Jersey Little League, like, oh, we're going to have mafia ties. And basically, like, the New Jersey Little League. Finished, I think, fourth in the U.S. for the World Series, the Little World Series this year. Good showing by them. But apparently there was like some accounting discrepancies and they forgot to file their non-profit paperwork.
Really?
I was like, oh, well, all right. But is it that they weren't filing? And it was like sort of ambiguous, like, oh, maybe they're hiding something. We're like, okay, but it's not like they didn't pay out. They,
it's not
they
like
were
the kid
slow
was
to
16.
Pay back. Exactly.
You know,
it's
that's
not like the kid was 16,
right.
Or that like someone's embezzling all the money. They have a system where they pay back parents who go to the World Series. Like they get like I don't know, not a coupon, but a you know whatever, like a voucher for, and they pay for like a, because it costs like $5,000 or $6,000 for a family to go to the Little League World Series. By the way, wow, am I in the wrong business? Because yikes! But then they kick back the Little League. Organization kicks back like $1,600 to each family that goes.
Yeah, that's nice.
Apparently they were slow in paying back whatever. And then some people were getting outraged, but probably were just being poor sports about having lost. And then they're from New Jersey. So of course they're kind of red asses about it. Right. And it just turned out they hadn't filed their paperwork. And so there's nothing has come of it as like, oh, like they stole money. Everyone's gotten their money now and they're working on filing the paperwork.
So basically it's not a story.
It wants to be a story so bad, John. And if
they're
this
trying.
Were being carried by CNN right now, we would know so very little about it, but it would be implied that there would be so much about it that was terrifying.
Breaking
to
news.
It's so disappointing, John, to watch CNN. And like, there's there's good people there, I'm sure. But when they get up there and they say things like, Donald Trump is being much bigger of a pussy to the Russians than Obama was, like, I'm sorry, look, I liked Obama, but Obama rolled over for the Russians, like...
Until the very end, and then he did...
Until the very end, he was there for 8 years, dude! Right.
No, but I'm saying until the very end, and then at the very end, what, the last 2 months, he decided like the sanctions and kicked him out and
but like all
down.
The stuff about like, hey, it's a reset, and we're gonna give you some, we're gonna do that that hot mic thing where he got recorded saying like, yeah, once I get elected, I'm gonna have a lot of latitude for you.
Did you see the historians?
Whoa. Also, like Donald Trump has given weapons to the Ukraine. That's already more than Obama ever did. Now, whether that you can't call Donald Trump a Russian stooge. He can be a stooge. I'm all for he's a stooge. But he ain't no Russian stooge.
Did you see that they had their president ranking? Historians do their ranking for presidents, and those came out, an update to that. And I think there's something like 100 and something historians that do this poll or voting. And they do it, I don't know if it's every year, but every few years. And Trump is by far the worst president ever.
Right. And you mean worse than the guy who dropped an atomic bomb on Japan? Like worse than that guy?
That guy is like in the top four.
Okay.
And okay. Obama has moved up like from 18th, I think either 10th or 8th. And
George Bush moved up too,
five spots.
Well, George W., I think you're going to see Obama wind up going down. I think a lot of the stuff, look, again, I'm not picking sides here. He's clearly the coolest president we ever had. And as far as we can tell, he wasn't banging Marilyn Monroe. So that puts him ahead of JFK in that category.
Well, maybe he should have.
But a lot of the stuff he did there in office is being undone because he didn't get it passed as legislation. He was just writing executive orders, which, again, can be easily unwritten by the next executive. And I think a lot of his stuff, the Iran deal, is an awful thing that he tried to pull off. And I think that's going to be I think his legacy is going to be tarnished not by Republicans, but just because the stuff turned out to be not such a great idea at the time. His thing about when Mitt Romney was like, well, the number one, adversary to the United States in the world right now is Russia. And then Obama's like, well, 1980s called and they want their foreign policy back. Gotcha. Zing. Twitter. Zap. Retweet. Hashtag snark. Like, oh, but then actually it turned out that Mitt Romney was exactly correct. And then the Russians have been sowing unrest in our country.
Right.
Like, come on. Still the coolest president, though.
Tell us how you really feel, Jed. Okay, you ready to move on to starting nine?
Let's do it. Uh-oh. I feel like this is a weird transition.
For Black History Month. Nine players with Negro League team names. And to clarify for folks, although Negro is no longer a term associated with Black culture, it definitely was a institution in the world of baseball for decades back in the early part of the century.
That's right. And they still are called the Negro Leagues.
They are.
Yeah, because
there is a Negro League Hall of Fame. There's a Negro League Museum. There is... some amazing stories of players. And
let's talk about that for a second, John. Have you ever played like classic fantasy baseball or where you can draft? Oh my God. Some of the coolest players that you can get.
Cool Papa Bell,
Satchel Paige. My personal favorite is Oscar Charleston. Uh-huh. This guy was a center fielder. Some people considered him to be the best Negro Leagues player in the history of, and this is bigger than Josh Gibson, and you know,
but Josh Gibson hit an 800 foot home run, didn't he, out of Yankee Stadium, something like that.
Well, he actually knocked the moon out of its orbit with a home run once. But anyway, yeah. So Josh Gibson is sort of more broadly considered the best, but Oscar Charleston was just a spectacular center fielder, like very much like Willie Mays, like sort of great offense, great defense. And to have these guys on these, so you pick a roster full of players from all eras, and so you have them all playing on your team, so you can have like Babe Ruth in right field and Oscar Charleston in the center field, And well, you probably got need to go a little cheap in left field and put like Rob Deer or something like that. And but then you piece it all together and you have a roster and they play against other teams that are done this way. It's really quite fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, but anyway, having you know, that's where I learned actually a lot about the Negro League players. I also saw the Ken Burns baseball thing, which covers them extensively.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's do this. Black History Month. Negro League teams merge with current players. So we have the Homestead Sunny Grays.
There you go. Good. Homestead Grays.
Yeah. Kansas City Ian Des Monarchs.
Good.
Kansas City Monarchs there. Here's a weird team name. Pittsburgh Brandon Crawfords.
There you go. That's good.
There was a team called the Pittsburgh Crawfords. Mm-hmm. Wait, what are we doing here? Oh. Charlie Atlanta Blackman Crackers. For the Atlanta Black Crackers. Which to me, I don't even understand how a cracker can be black, but
oh, there you go.
Good for that. Cleveland Buckeyes Farmer. Buck Farmer, Cleveland okay. Buckeyes.
Got it.
Greg Birmingham Black Barons.
Good.
And what else we got here? Chicago American Giants Carlo Stanton.
Giant Carlos?
Yeah. Giants Carlo.
That's good.
Okay, next is New York Q Benz Obrist.
It sounds like you have like a list of thousands and you're like, let me see which one I got here.
I keep losing track because it's out of my eye line.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So for the New York Cubans, it's New York Cubans Obrist.
Got it.
Benz Obrist.
Cubans.
Yeah. And then finally, Mike Fulty Newark Eagles. Fultonevich Eagles, anyway.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, it's a challenge.
It is a challenge. Yeah, it is a challenge.
Especially when you do the ones that are not obvious, like the Sunny Grays. That's an obvious one. Like you said, you lead off with the obvious ones. But then,
I do, because it's easier to get into a rhythm that way.
Yeah, but then you have to, you know, when you do the name twists, that's always fun. Enjoy it. You know, if I didn't enjoy this, we would kill this. We've been doing this forever.
We've been doing almost every episode.
Yeah, since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
So we're ready.
Many more than the flip this clubhouse.
Right. We did that once.
We did that once on our test episode, and it did not survive. Well.
So were we ready to go around the horn?
Round the horn. We're going to do it.
We're going to do it quick?
Yeah, we're going to do it quick.
So this episode, we're going to focus on who is each team's wild card this year. Card player.
Yeah. Did you ever see Always Sunny in Philadelphia, that show?
I have not.
Oh, that's maybe one of my favorite top five shows of all time. Spectacular. Charlie Day is on there, and they're doing an episode. They're trying to figure out, like, well, this guy's the brains. And this guy's the brawn, and they're trying to figure out who's got what role. And Charlie Day is the wild card.
Okay.
Anyway, for fans of the show, they're like, oh, my God, that was such a great episode, because then he cut the brake lining and the van full of gasoline crashes into the house. It's fantastic. One of the best episodes. And he screams, wild card, bitches, and then jumps out of the van. all right. Anyway, so yes, but team by team, who is the team's wild card? Like, who's the most wild variable? Like, yeah, we're gonna do the Angels, but Mike Trout is not the wild card of that team. Oh. We know what Mike Trout's gonna do, but who is the wild card? Find out next on Around the Horn, brought to you by Snapple. Maybe
someday soon.
Someday soon.
The Braves.
Retroactively.
Let's go.
We're just getting these all in, so when we close the deal with
this
Snapple,
rapid fire.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Snapple. The Braves. Let's go.
Ronald Acuna. Top prospect in baseball. Should be up mid-April. Could be the next Carlos Correa. You know, could be the next Mike Trout. Who knows? Not quite the same skill sets, but he's the wild card for the Braves. He could be so good, they push themselves into contention.
Wow. That's big. Mets.
Oh, Syndergaard.
Because injuries. Bounce back. Got it. Phillies?
Yeah. Oh. What would be the Phillies? That's a good question. I don't know. For the Phillies, the wild card for the Phillies, J.P. Crawford.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the wild card. Because he could be bad at shortstop, or he could be the next Francisco Lindor. So we have to find out which one he is.
Okay. The Nationals.
Bryce Harper. I know he's the like the Mike Trout, but will he be injured? Will he? Will they stay in contention? If he's in, if they're not in contention, will they trade him?
Could be interesting. The Marlins.
JT Realmuto, will he stay on the team? Will he be traded away?
Dan Straley doesn't want those guys around. It's like, good riddance. You don't want to be here. Get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off. We're going to lose some games. So what?
I'm going to get paid. Let's move
Straley over. Had a good year last year. He should be traded.
He did. He's their ace, which says a lot.
He should be traded midseason. They'll get a better return midseason.
He'll get traded. Yeah. They're not going to keep him. Yeah. Red Sox.
Well, let's just say J.D. Martinez.
Yeah.
Will he acclimate? Will he hit at the 60 home run pace that he was hitting last year? Will he be launching balls over the left field wall, or will he have trouble adjusting? He's never hit a home run at Fenway Park.
Will David Price move to the bullpen?
No, John, don't do that. That's just, you're just upsetting me.
The Yankees.
Okay, let's say the biggest wild card is a pretty set team. I'm going to say Tanaka, because Tanaka can be an ace, but then also he's just so bad sometimes, just giving up home runs. And yeah, I'm going to say Tanaka is their wild card.
Blue Jays.
Tulowitzki.
That's a
shortstop with a lot of injuries and just hasn't really quite found that hitting offensive thing in Toronto, which is a good hitting environment.
Yeah, and he's only 33. You think I thought he was much older, but he's not. He's been around.
Yeah, some
a
of these
time.
Guys have been allowed, like Felix Hernandez, like, oh, he's been around for like 15 years. Like, yeah, but he started pitching when he was 19,
right,
so he's 34.
Right. How about the Orioles?
Machado. Does he get traded? He's going to move back to short, which I think makes him a more valuable player in the league than third base. But then what good team needs a shortstop right now? I don't know. Cardinals maybe. So maybe the big wild, maybe Machado is a better wild card for the Cardinals.
Right. There you go. How about the Rays?
Chris Archer. Can he get the combination of skills to work out so he can actually become the ace that people think he could be?
And no one's given up on him. Every year, somebody's like,
every year
he's going to bounce back, and we've yet to see the flourish. He's a great guy, though. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Pirates.
Starling Marte.
Coming.
Will he find a new
supplement?
Supplement to boost his performance, not necessarily enhance his performance,
but,
John.
Right. Keep him on the field without suspension.
Keep him on the field. Yeah, exactly.
Right. How about the Cardinals? Manny Machado.
Manny Machado. I'd say who around the horn there? No, that's not the wild card. That's outfield.
Matheny.
Oh, let's say Alex Reyes.
Matheny.
Well, that's what I want to say, but let's say player.
Okay. The Cubs.
Which is Alex Reyes is their top prospect. Who's recovering from Tommy John surgery, but maybe he's a reliever, and then they start him a little bit, but he's supposed to have dynamite stuff and electric stuff, as they say. Cubs, Schwarber.
Every year,
does he hit enough home runs and get on base enough to justify the terrible defense in left field?
Yeah, surprised they didn't move him to the American League.
I mean, they still love him. They still love him too much. And you'd be selling low, so you have to... Yeah, but he should be moved to the American League. He would be a god wherever he was traded. Like, if you traded him to, like, Minnesota, he would be a god there.
Mm-hmm. How about the Brewers?
Jimmy Nelson. Can he get back in a timely manner and become the ace that he was showing he was last year?
And he's due back June-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Reds.
Oof. Nick Senzel, their top prospect. Does he... does he move to short and Eugenio Suarez stay at third, or does Suarez move to short? Do they have sort of like a clunky shortstop situation for a while? I'm going to say Senzel.
Astros.
Do they really have a wild card?
They don't really, do they?
Stacked team, man. No, you know what? Ken Giles.
Okay, closer.
The closer.
Yeah.
A little shaky.
That's their the shakiest part of their team is the back
end
of
the bullpen.
It is
the shaky part of their team, yeah.
Angels.
Ohtani. Got to be Ohtani. Is he going to hit? Is he going to pitch? Bada bada boom.
Is he going to pitch hit?
Is he going to pitch well enough to stay? Is he going to hit well enough to keep getting chances to hit?
Will he hit when he pitches?
Will he hit them over the new right field wall that's now lower?
That's why they lowered it. It's the Ohtani wall.
Yeah.
How about the Rangers?
I don't know. Like any of the pitchers? I guess Hamels, right? Will Hamels be garbage or will he be... That's a wild card.
Also
Hamels.
Gallo, too. Is Gallo going to hit 40 home runs but hit above?
No, I don't think he's a wild card because I think he's never going to hit over 250.
But what if he does?
He'll never hit over 250. But he could hit 40 home runs and be on base 34% of the time, and there's an all-star right there.
Right.
Like, that's a four-win player, you know?
Yeah. Dave Kingman.
Yeah.
But
better than Kingman.
Yeah, but Kingman didn't walk. Kingman struck out constantly. It was either home run or strikeout.
Yeah. Like my love life, am I right? You guys know what I'm talking about, if you're even listening at this
point. How about the A's?
Let's see. A's. Matt Olson? Well, because he was on a pretty impressive tear.
Mm.
I don't think he's the wild card, though. What's their pitching situation? They don't really have much of a pitching situation there, do they?
No.
I would just say their pitching situation. I don't know. I wish I knew more of their pitchers, but they just really have trash. They have good offensive numbers, I think.
Oh, they're going to hit a lot of home runs this year.
Yeah.
They've got a power team.
They're going to barrage people, but I think they also will be on the receiving end of barrage.
They will. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. How about the Mariners?
D. Gordon? Does it work in center field? Is he going to be stealing all the bases? Will he get on base enough to justify being at the top of the order?
Felix, too. Will he pitch more than 15 games, 15 starts?
I feel like his ceiling is so low that he can't be the wild card. That's what I feel like.
But if you lived out here, the hopes and dreams hang on him. And that is unfortunate because his best days are way behind him. He's, you know.
Well, then Mariners fans, I apologize for saying that the ceiling is low. And the ceiling is high, and he will break it through even your greatest expectations.
Yeah, it's the injury bug with him more than anything.
Yeah.
The gas, there's little gas left in the tank.
Yeah, the fastball and the changeup are just too similar now. That's all.
Too close. Yeah, he's lost 2-3 miles an hour off the fastball, and he had a hard changeup anyway, mid-80s changeup. Yep. So, okay, move over to the National League West, Padres.
Eric Hosmer.
There you go.
Well, we'll say Will Myers, because I think the worst thing about the Eric Hosmer trade is pushing Will Myers to the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
I think he then, like, can he play a solid defense? Does the move actually affect him? That's still just a weird signing by the Padres.
Yeah, we'll see how that one turns out. Preller.
I mean, maybe it's one of those signings. Yeah, maybe it's one of those signings where it's like, oh, now other free agents will want to come play for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, they spent money on this guy, everyone likes Hosmer.
They got a pretty decent farm system, too, but they're
years
away.
They have a great farm system.
Two, three years away.
Yeah. But it's going to start trickling up now, and by the time they get up, Hosmer will be a replacement-level player, being paid $20 million.
Right.
Pretty great setup.
Awesome. Bring the fans in.
But I trust this front office. This is the front office that traded for Matt Kemp. I trust this front office.
Disaster. A.J. Preller. Go down in history as, I just wanted to go back a little bit too, and we kind of didn't mention this, and it surprised me when I saw it. Kevin Towers passed away, the former GM of the Padres and Diamondbacks.
You're right. He's the wild card.
He was a wild card. But I just wanted to pay tribute to Kevin Towers.
All right. Well, I didn't know him personally, so.
But he was well loved in San Diego.
A great man.
Great.
He was well liked. Yes.
How about the Dodgers?
The wild card for the Dodgers. Let's say Kershaw, right? Let's get 200 innings in there, pal.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got him on my fantasy team, and I'm a little wary. Of his price. Yeah,
that's a pretty steep price you got on him there. I wonder if you could kick him back in and just get him for the same price that you have him at now. I can't imagine him going much higher than that, let alone $5 more than
that. Yeah. No, this would be the last year to hold him. But to me, it's just kind of like, sure. You know, do you stick with somebody like that because of the injuries the last two seasons have kind
of... It's a lot of eggs in one basket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have no other pitchers, so...
Well...
You know. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Giants, your favorite team.
Yeah. Bumgarner.
Yeah.
That's the easy one for them. Does he come back to form? Or does he come back to sort of that weird sort of pseudo form that he was in at the end of last year?
Yeah, the thing with him is that he usually
starts
out
slow. Top 20 pitcher instead of a top five?
Yeah, he starts out slow and usually gets better as the year goes on. And
again, it's like we're talking about my sex life.
Speaking of your sex, like...
Rockies.
Sex life. Can't speak.
That's all right. That's all right. It was a weird comment either way.
Rocky sex life?
Whether it was well enunciated. Let me see here. Rockies. Wild card. Ryan McMahon at first base?
I don't even know who he is.
Who's going to be? Ian Desmond. There's your wild card.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will he come back?
Yeah.
And
will he come back? Any kind of fool could see he wasn't worth that big contract they gave him, but who cares?
They paid him for his one season in Texas.
Yeah. So. Well, they paid him for the one season in Texas and then the one season a couple years earlier in
Washington
with the Nationals. Yeah. Still a bad signing to this day.
D-backs.
I'm going to say we're going to go off the players. I know we're saying only players, but I'm going to say the big wild card is the humidor.
Oh,
does it turn Arizona into a pitcher's park from being a hitter's park?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Also, like for fantasy baseball purposes, like all of a sudden do you have to calculate that all the pitchers will be 10% better and all the hitters will be 20% worse?
Drury's relieved.
Yeah.
He's out of there.
Yes, now he's with the Yankees.
In
where
the band
it's
box.
Judge and Drury. Oh, with the puns. Twitter exploded with the puns. Wow. Judge and Drury.
I didn't even hear about that. That's
it's awful, thing. John. It's like it's why Twitter should be shut down.
Let's keep moving. Tigers.
Miguel Cabrera. Will he or won't he, right?
Right. You know, I've seen some analysis that, you know, last year was an outlier. He should bounce back. It's like, I don't know about that. You know, he's...
I believe he'll bounce.
Might not.
He's got the physique
up
for it.
Indians.
Who is the wild card with the Indians? Oof. Manny Machado? Yonder Alonso. Like, do we see... the home run hitting Yonder Alonso with the on base, or do we see the other guy that's been around most of his career? So.
He's no Carlos Santana.
He is no Carlos Santana.
How about the Twins?
Byron Buxton. Is it first half Buxton or second half Buxton?
Yeah.
I'm not talking top half, bottom half here. I'm talking about half of the season.
Yeah.
Second half of last season, he's one of the top 10, 15 players in the league. If he can do that for a full season... that's some crazy defense out there.
Yeah. Stellar defender. White Sox.
Abreu? It's more a question of when do they trade him? I guess that's the wild card.
But he's going to steal more bases this year.
Oh, is
that's
he?
That's his plan. No, he came into spring training saying his goal for the year is to steal more bases. He wants the green light.
I think it's good when you're on a team that's that terrible, you can set up little games for yourself to make it so you don't want to kill yourself.
Speaking of wanting to kill yourself, the Royals.
It's like my love life. the Royals. Who's the wild card there? What if we go off the board a little bit and we go with what's his name? Raul Mondesi Jr.
Okay.
This is a minor leaguer who just needs a is a killing it at AAA and just kind of needs that shot. And will Yost let him take over shortstop and just give it a year, see what happens? That's your wild card. But this is a terrible team. It doesn't really matter.
Right. We won't hear much about the Royals this year. Yeah. Other than
boom, that's all of them, John.
They're in the race to the bottom with the White Sox and Tigers.
Yeah, exactly. They're going for 100 losses.
Three teams for 100 losses. Let's see if we can do it. Extra innings.
Fingers crossed.
We're ready for some extra innings. We only have a few things.
Let's bang these out.
And let's see. Extra innings, looking at what's going on outside of the world of baseball. Got a few things. Louisville determined that they must vacate their 2013 title.
Right. Now, do you know this story?
Oh, this was the whole thing with Patino and the hookers and drugs and recruiting violations and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, but my understanding is that a lot of it is focusing on like the non-basketball stuff, like the
There was a guy that went down. It was the money with the the agents, right? Was it agents?
I think vacating titles is stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So then what? Like no one won it that year.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's so stupid. Like, they didn't win. Okay, we think they didn't win now. Blah.
It's like, so we're going to elevate somebody else into the position when the other team, like, it's like, yeah, but we know we didn't win, so.
Right, no one wants to be, it's not like it's a gold medal where they're like, oh, you kicked me up. It's like, oh, yeah, hey, congratulations on your national championship from the game you lost. Also, here's a participation ribbon.
Let's see. Let's keep going.
Not a fan of these penalties. Yeah. I believe in penalties, but these penalties are stupid.
What is this? U.S. citizen skis for Hungary and half pipe and is the worst ever, but is also the best. I didn't see it. So what happened?
So thanks for reading all my notes out loud to the audience. That's really good form there. You could have just said, hey, what's this next story, Jed?
I usually do that.
Did you hear about this gal?
No.
Who... She's a U.S. citizen.
Oh, I did. She just
and she
straight
and
down she just, the pipe, right?
She just basically just like up and down and up.
No,
and
I did
down.
Hear about it. She went to all these qualifiers,
like
random unknown qualifiers, and racked up enough points. She was wealthy enough that she could go around the world, rack up the
and
points.
Not wealthy, like living with her parents and scraping it all together, doing multiple jobs, working 10, 15, 20 hours a day,
just to say that she would made the Olympic team.
Just to say she made the Olympic team and then she made the Olympics and did the experience. And God bless her. I love it. Like, I don't think it makes fun of the sport. It's not like she took someone's spot.
No, not like Hungary's dominant.
No, Hungary doesn't have a freestyle ski team. They don't have a mountain over 3,000 feet. They don't have this.
So that got you engaged in the Olympics because of that?
This is the most I followed in the Olympics. That and watching the highlight of the women, that goal for the women winning the gold, which was one of the most incredible shots on goal I've ever seen, male or female.
The Deke?
But this, yeah, the Deke.
Did you watch the game last night?
Well, you know, because all girls want the Deke. You know what I'm talking about? Can't believe she fell for the Deke again. Girlfriend.
Did you watch the game last night?
I didn't watch the game. I just watched the highlight, John. I'm not going to watch the Olympics.
It was spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. This woman, I've watched this woman's run down the half pipe a dozen times. It is awesome.
Dun-dun-dun.
Wait, what?
You watch the woman run down the half pipe a dozen times.
Oh, that does sound like kind of a sexual thing, John. That's right.
Yeah, it did. A little bit.
Maybe she wanted the Deke also.
But
that's awful.
So the hockey game
awful.
Last night was great. It was incredible.
I don't want to talk about the hockey game. Fantastic. I want to talk about this woman who spent the last 6 years, and actually really like the last 10 years, trying to get in the Olympics. Like in any event she could. And just didn't really have the skills, like even close.
Well, another great story that you probably would have enjoyed was the person who showed up at the opening ceremonies and just ran out onto the performance and stood next to this guy who was singing, who was apparently some well-known Korean. And then they yanked him off. And then an hour later, he somehow got back out there, this just wandering around. And
no, I don't like that. I think that's a crazy person.
But I thought you like those deviations from the norm.
No. This woman dedicated her life to getting in the Olympics. This is an impressive. This is the American dream, John. She didn't have everything she needed. She found the loophole, and she was not some rich person who's just like, oh, I want to go get a gold medal. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll pay whoever. Pay Hungary $1 million, and I'll go. This isn't like Catherine Zeta-Jones saying,
this is going to be a movie.
Michael Douglas, I'll have sex with you and marry you if you get me Academy Award. This isn't like that, okay? This isn't like Jennifer Lawrence having sex with Harvey Weinstein, allegedly, so that she could get an Academy Award.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
These are not the same. This is a person who has struggled and fought and achieved through adversity. A very embarrassing thing, yes, still, but I admire her.
This is going to be a movie, is what you're saying, basically. It's going to be a
look,
movie.
She's gonna get money, right? She's going to get a book deal. She's going to get the things and the appearances and then blah, blah, blah. Apparently Hungary thinks she's awesome, even though they were a little surprised at how bad she was as a skier. They were not quite aware. They thought because she had qualified at so many events.
Right. The fans were like,
that she must. They were like, oh.
We've got somebody in the half pipe. Let's check it out.
That's surprising.
Yeah. Last but not least, Fergie, apparently, I didn't see it. I don't know if you saw it. Skewered the national anthem at the NBA All-Star game.
Yeah, she decided to take a different
approach.
A little funky, and it went over very much like Roseanne's national anthem.
Did she grab her crotch at the end?
She did not grab her crotch, but we all grabbed our own crotches, and we all spit.
No, the only thing I saw was a clip when she was singing that the camera scans the players and the looks on their faces were like, what?
Yeah.
What is she doing?
It is shocking to watch. Here's the thing. It's shocking to watch because you think, oh, it's not like she made this up in this moment. Like they've been practicing and there have been people saying like, oh, that's good. Let's keep doing it that way. Instead of just, whoa, Fergie. How about instead of doing that thing, we do something that won't embarrass everyone? And so then she apologized, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, oh, I'm sorry. I tried to do my best. And like, okay, good. And so then now there's the backlash. And then she's got to deal with that. And now there's the backlash on the backlash because this is America. And if you can't backlash onto backlash, what are you even doing in this country?
See you next week.
Bye-bye.